A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit exults in God my Saviour, because he has looked upon his lowly handmaid. Yes, from this day forward, all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name, and his mercy reaches from age to age for those who fear him. He has shown the power of his arm. He has routed the proud of heart. He has pulled down princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, the rich sent empty away. He has come to the help of Israel, his servant, mindful of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, of his mercy to Abraham and to his descendants forever." If there's one expression that will be remembered long after the American presidential election, I suspect it might be the reference to Joe Sixpack and the soccer moms. I suppose it's a way of referring to the average small town or suburban family. Governor Palin clearly thought it summed up the image and the energy of the typical family. The male allusion is obvious. For women, it seems to sum them up as living for other people, giving up their own talents and interests to be there for their children. And there seems to be some argument about whether that is a good thing or not so good. Was Mary a first century Israeli equivalent of the soccer mom? What was this woman really like? The angel Gabriel had called her highly favored. In another translation, it's called full of grace. Certainly, she has been favored by God, being chosen to bear the child who would be the Messiah. But what of herself? What kind of person was she? We don't see or hear very much of her in the Gospels. She seems largely a detail in God's plan for the world. But Gospel writer Luke puts the words of what we know today as the Magnificat in her mouth, and clearly intends to say something important about her through this astonishing speech. So, what kind of picture of her emerges? There has always been a perception that Mary was a humble woman, meekly accepting her place in God's plan, and that this Magnificat demonstrates that modesty. But I think there is far more to it than that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian, called it the most passionate, the wildest, the most revolutionary Advent hymn ever sung. Far from suggesting someone meek and demure, this song is full of excitement and drama. Just consider that first line, usually translated as, "My soul magnifies the Lord." What is she saying here? She speaks of her soul, her life, her being. And she says, through her life and being, the presence and the power and the goodness and the glory of God are made manifest. Wow! A human being claiming through her life to image God. This is no shy, submissive girl. She knows exactly who she is, and she knows that God's gift to her is not simply a child in her womb, but a place in authentic humanity. With or without this baby, who will become the Christ, Mary knows that in her is revealed God's love for the world. And indeed, she mirrors for us our own place in that humanity, an image of God. There is deep theology here. But more. We don't have time today to look at the prayer in detail, but just one more sample. Verse 52 refers to verses in the old Jewish scriptures, including the Psalms, and she says that God has pulled down princes from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. Why does she say something like that at this moment, when we might have expected her to be coming to terms with her pregnancy? It's because this is no soccer mom speaking here. This young woman lived in a remote village in the craggy hills of Galilee, not far from the splendid new city of Sepphoris. This city, built by King Herod the Great as his capital, had seen a revolt by the Jewish inhabitants in 4 BC and was destroyed by the Roman army and its Jewish citizens killed or sold into slavery. Such events would have had enormous impact on the people of Galilee. And here, just a few years afterwards, this highly intelligent young woman holds up the two paramount ingredients of her faith, that God's plan incorporated her, the child she was to bear, and the whole world, and that God's plan for her and for all the world was one of justice and mercy. In other words, she understood the politics of what she was involved in. She knew, and she exhilarated in that knowledge. This is no woman content to be merely an instrument. It's true that she refers to herself as the handmaid of the Lord. The picture in this prayer, however, shows us a young woman who knows who she is, knows the part she has been offered in the fulfillment of God's plan, and becomes an active and eager participant in that operation. An image indeed for women and for men to imitate.